All right, so today we're going to be talking about advancing. Now, you know us men, it's pretty natural for us to advance. When Stacy and I are going somewhere, and, you know, I'm an old-fashioned guy, but I'm starting to trust GPS, but the GPS on my Android phone was terrible. It took me not even close. So I thought, okay, I have an iPhone now, and let's see how they do. Well, they've been doing really well, except Pastor Kurt was in Lebanon Hospital 2 weeks ago. Reading Hospital 2 weeks ago. So I told my phone to take me to the Reading Hospital. So 2 hours later, it says you've arrived. And I'm downtown Reading, and I'm looking around, no hospital. I'm like, oh, great. I should have gotten my map out, right? My paper map. And so I pulled up to the next light, and there were three guys standing there, and I said, is the hospital right around here? He goes, no, it's way over the river. I'm like, so I tried it again. I looked up the address, and I said, now it's going to pop up. Hey, Siri, take me to the address. And I got there. So the parking garage was closed for construction. You were not allowed to park in the employee garage, right, Trish? And so you just had to park somewhere. Where the somewhere was, you could see the hospital in a distance. Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyway, we got there. But my point is, us guys, we don't go back. Like Stacy will say, I think maybe you were to turn back there. Oh, we'll get there. You know, or, you know, I think we've passed this before. Do you want to ask for directions? No, we'll get there. You know, so we advance, right? Right, Jack?
Amen.
And she'll say, well, I would have asked for directions back there at Sheets like a half hour ago. We'll get there. We'll get there. So you can have three different mindsets about situations and circumstances. Three different mindsets. So see if you can identify yourself in one of these three mindsets and how you view situations and life. But what I want to throw out there is sometimes we think we know ourselves, but I don't know about you. I have conversations with God, and I'll ask him questions. He'll say, do you really want to know? I'm like, well, I thought I did know. And so when he asks that question, you know, it makes me think, well, maybe I don't really want to know. But I'll say, yes, sure. And he'll say, okay, well, I'm going to shine a light on something. And he does. I go, oh, my goodness, where'd that come from? Right? So you may think you're one of these mindsets, but this morning allow the Holy Spirit to say, no, you actually tend to respond to things more in one of the others. So three different mindsets. The first one is the one I was describing. You want to advance. You want to move forward. You want to take new territory. You realize that some things require effort and even a battle. So advance, advance, advance. My father was in the National Guard, 104th Armored Cavalry. And they had a motto. And he would wear it on pins, and I would see it on different things coming from the armory. And it would say, over, under, or through. And the point was that if you come up to a mountain, one of the choices isn't to go around. You either are going to climb up over, you're going to dig under, or you're going to blast through. And wow, that was my father. So it wasn't just the motto of the National Guards, it was his motto. At 55, he had quadruple bypass surgery. And then after that, he had like 6 or 8 major, not minor surgeries, not tonsillitis, not something that just needed mended, major surgeries. And then his life ended with a 3-year battle with, a year and a half battle with cancer. But I remember the one situation. It was serious enough they lifelined him to Hershey, and when I drove Mother down there and we got there, they were ripping his clothes off. They said he was so close to bleeding out that they didn't have time to undress him. And they're like, you can't visit with him. He's in surgery now. But he always pressed through that. And somehow, different than me, He did it without moaning, groaning, and complaining. Even with his cancer treatments, he just went for them and just pressed through them. So with him, it was advance, advance, advance. Over, under, or through. That's one. Is that your mindset about circumstances? Second one, you're just happy where you are. I don't want much change. I don't want things different. I like my comfort. I want it how I want it, when I want it. And you know what? It just takes too much effort to move forward. So I just like things to stay the way they are. So this is one of these situations where I have to admit that the Lord showed me, and I agreed, I like that a lot. There's certain things about that that's very appealing. And my life has looked more like the first one. I think I like the second one better, but my life has looked more like the first one. Number three, you're slowly going backwards. You know when you're in a current, if you're not rowing and putting in some effort, where are you going? You're going slowly backwards. You may say, I'm too tired. I'm too old. I'm too worn out. I don't want to push forward, and I don't even want to resist. I've battled before. It didn't go well. Now, I'm just accepting what comes. I don't have a whole lot of hope or energy, but I'll get by somehow. And you know what? Others can do the fighting. So which of those three do you think, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, which of those three do you think describes you more? Which of those three do you think God wants us to have as our mindset? That's what we're going to look at today in Scripture. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press on. And wow, did that guy have things to press on through? Do you remember? Stoning, trials, persecutions. I press on what? To reach the end of my race. I press on to reach the end of my race and to receive the prize. Don't we all want to show up there and the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know if that will happen. Of course he loves us and he's going to welcome us as his sons and daughters, but I don't know if we're going to hear that with mindset number two or especially number three. Paul also says in 2 Timothy 4:7. So the first reference was Philippians 3:14. Sorry, I know some of you like to jot these down or follow along, but I like to keep moving. 2 Timothy 4:7 is this one. This is later in his life, and now he's saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. Don't we all want to be able to say that? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. So we're going to look at number three a minute, which is slowly going backwards. Okay, so we talked about, is your mindset pressing forward and advancing? Is your mindset, I want everything to just stay the same. I don't want any change. I don't want to put forth a whole lot of effort. I like things the way they are. I'm comfortable. Number three was you're slowly going backwards. You're not resisting, and you're being pushed backwards. Jesus had some pretty firm words to say about that in Luke 9. Anyone who puts a hand to the plow then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And then remember the Israelites? Now, where are they? Are the Israelites in a luscious, green, wonderful time in their lives? Well, no. Most of where we think of the Israelites is in the desert, right? Because they were there for 40 years. So, dry, no food, no easy access to water. So they weren't comfortable. They weren't happy. It was a difficult and dry time. And they decided in Numbers 14 that it would be better to return to Egypt. Yeah, see? Going back. Going back. God had what for them? A promised land for them. But to get to that promised land, they had to go through dry places, through desert places, through places where it wasn't easy to find food, places where it wasn't easy to find water. And I think after a while, I'd get tired of baked manna. I don't know about you, but fried manna, baked manna, manna with something, sauce on it, I don't know. But after a while, right, I would be complaining. I'll just say me. Maybe the rest of you would be happy as a little lark, but I would be complaining. And if my wife was here, you'd probably see her nodding. So the people said, let us choose a new leader. Oh. See, they were following a leader, but they didn't like where the leader was taking them. Because they wanted to be in a place where food was easy and water was easy and it was not hot and it was not dry. So you know what? Maybe we'll pick a new leader and he'll take us back to Egypt. Now wait a minute. How nice was it for them actually back in Egypt? They were slaves and they were made to construct bricks out of straw and mud. Yeah. But isn't it funny, when we do press forward, when we are in a battle, when we're in a difficult place, we're thinking, I need to be anywhere but here, even if it means going back to slavery. So they said, let's get a new leader. Let's go back to Egypt. And here's what their leaders did. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua and Caleb, tore their clothes. And they said to the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land, and he will give it to us. And it is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord. Ouch. So sometimes murmuring and complaining and wanting to go back is seen as rebelling against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. Don't be afraid of the battle. Don't be afraid of warfare. Don't be afraid of pushing forward. They are helpless prey to us. Come on. Can I get an amen? Pastor Van's not here, and he's from down south, and he would have amened me. But he is down south today, visiting his friends and family. Listen, they don't have any protection, but we have the Lord. Come on, they don't have any protection, but we have the Lord. So it doesn't matter how big they look, how furious they look, how mighty they look. They're coming down. Do we believe that in our situations? Don't be afraid of them. The community, however, began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Ew. Ouch. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord had some things to say about the people murmuring and complaining. That's not part of my message today, but you can read it in Numbers, chapter 14. So we need to choose not to be those who quit, not to be those that say, this is too difficult, too dry, it's too hot, things are... I'm not getting what I want quick enough or soon enough. Or I asked for meat and I got cornflakes. Okay? And God said, well, you can have meat. Well, yeah, then they got pretty sick of meat pretty quick, didn't they? But be those who climb over or blast through. Because why? Because the Lord is with us. And those things that are coming against us do not have His protection. And it really is choosing. We were talking about this the other day. I guess it was at an encounter night. I don't know. Men's group, I think. And this week is encounter night, by the way. Thursday at 7 p.m., I think. Is that right? So it's just the time of coming out, spending time in the Lord's presence, seeing what He says and what He wants to do. Okay? You're just in His presence. Okay, anyway, at one of those gatherings we were talking about, it really is just saying, God, I believe Your promises. Not, I've heard them, I know them, I've read them, I've studied them, but I believe Your promises. For the Israelites, He said, I am going to give you that land. And they had to choose to believe that promise. When they got there and saw the opposition, they said, nope, God isn't big enough, God can't do it, we're going back to Egypt. But Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb said, yes, God is big enough. So there in that spot, you have to choose, are you going to believe the situation, the size of the situation, the fortification of the situation, or are you going to believe God? His promises are true whether or not. That's pretty simple. All right. So we had said earlier, maybe we need to just say, God, would You show me which of these three mindsets I have? So we just looked at number three. And maybe He said, you know, you have a little bit of that mindset today. Well, let the Word encourage you to believe God and His promises. So number two, that's the mindset, I just want to stay where I'm at. I'm comfortable, I'm happy, things are good, and you know what? I like what's familiar. And yes, that is me. Has that looked like my life? Absolutely not. Every time I say, oh good, things haven't changed for a little bit, things change. Every single time. Right, Sharon? Yeah. They do. And the Lord is like, yeah, so we're going to go again. Are you coming where I'm going, or are you going to stay where you are? You know, when the disciples were in that storm and in that boat, see, sometimes we're in a storm. We're in a boat. We can feel the wind. We see the waves. It's dark. It's unpleasant. We're in the boat, and Jesus says, well, step out of the boat. Yeah, I think I'll just sit here in my seat. You know, I get travel sick, motion sick, and I don't think I want to venture out into that storm. But He says, well, I'm in the storm. Are you going to come where I am? So then the question is it safer in the boat in the storm without Jesus, or out of the boat in the storm with Jesus? Come on. Thank you. That's good, isn't it? I don't know. I like my seat. I have a cushion, you know. I have one of those pillows you sit in on a boat, and I have my life jacket on, and I'm feeling pretty secure in my boat, even though the boat's going like this. But Jesus is telling me to step out. In Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, this wasn't just get out of the boat. Come on. Leave your country and your people and go to the land that I will show you. Now, here's me. Oh, Lord, You want me to go somewhere? Okay, I want to know where. I want to know how long it's going to take to get there. And I want to know who's coming with me. Abraham didn't know any of those. He said, you start out and I'll show you. Yeah, that's a little scary, right? That's a little scary. Leave your things you're familiar with and go where I tell you to go. You know, maybe that's why He's called the Father of the Faith. What do you think? Because then it says, very next verse, Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. So I wonder when the Lord's writing down my story, it says, I talked to Steve. 6 months later, he departed. Right? So I can give you an example, and some of you have heard this, but some of you haven't, because I think it's been a couple years since I shared it. I prayed and prayed and prayed for this job, and I wanted to in a company where I could advance, and there'd be all kinds of opportunity. And I got this job in York, and my company was a small one, but it got bought out by a larger company, Ross Perot's company, and then it got bought out by another company, and I advanced up through the ranks 4 times in just 2 years. And I thought, wow, I'm pretty much next to the owner of this local company. It's just him and me and one other person in the management roles, and I was now over all the departments but one. I'm like, wow, that was pretty good in 2 years. So, Lord, there's all kinds of opportunities here. And I was even told that if I wanted, I could apply to any of the offices that this large corporation owned all over the United States, and they would even train me. And I'm thinking, wow, I could go here, I could go there. So I'm driving home one day, and the Lord says, so are you willing to give up your job? See, it's the same question almost, isn't it? I'm like, I told him no. I said, no, I prayed for this for like 7 years, and you gave it to me. He said, I gave it to you because you asked for it for 7 years. I'm like, oh, well, I have it, and I like it, and no. Well, that took about 2-3 weeks of driving to and from work and having this conversation. So finally, I said, okay, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. In fact, I know I won't be happy unless I do exactly what you want me to do and go wherever you want me to go, even if it means being a missionary to Africa. So I come in that Sunday, and Dick Warner was the pastor then, and I used to come, and back then we had hymnals, and I'd help spread the hymnals out and do whatever else he asked me to do. And I wasn't on staff then, it's just something I did. And I came in, I said, hey, so what's on the agenda today? He said, oh, we have a missionary from Africa. I had to sit down. I literally had to find a seat and sit down. And the missionary said, hey, I'm here to take people on a short-term missions trip. Who's going? And I already knew my answer. I didn't even have to ask. So that's another whole story, which I won't go into. But we choose to want to stay where we're at or go where he's calling us to do and do things that aren't familiar and often are not comfortable. In Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. It doesn't say, therefore sit in your seat at church and wait for people to come in to make them disciples. You know, for years, the church thought that's what that meant. For years, we acted like that's what we thought that meant. So if we hold this program, or if we hold that program, or we invite this well-known person, people are going to come, and then we can make them disciples. And that occasionally worked. It did. But that wasn't his instruction. His instruction is that we come to church and meet with him and get filled up and encouraged, and then we go out and make disciples. Now, maybe all the world to you means your next door neighbor. Maybe it means your workplace. Maybe it means sailors. Maybe it means Giant. Maybe it means Walmart. Maybe it does mean Africa. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Come on. So one of the promises that has meant the most to me, if you remember when Moses passed on his leadership to Joshua, that was a big thing. Because that was a lot of people. And you were there in the wilderness. And they weren't happy with leadership anyway. And you had to take them into the promised land. And God showed up and said to Joshua, this is my command, not this is my suggestion. This might be a nice idea. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. So, interestingly, when Pastor Al unexpectedly passed away, and I felt like the Lord was calling me to put my name in as senior pastor, and that did happen, sometime during that process, one of the prophets, prophetesses that we relate to, called me on the phone. She'd never called me before. She said, "The Lord woke me up with this scripture for you. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because you're going to need that." Like, yay! Because she said, "I think you had a Moses, and you're now Joshua, and now you take the leadership, and you need to be strong and courageous." See, it's our choice, isn't it? It's our choice. So we can either choose to take new territory and move forward, or stay where we are in what's comfortable and familiar. Well, I think I can actually tell you this story instead of reading it to you, but it's Matthew 21. So in Matthew 21, Jesus is telling this parable, this story, and he says, "Hey, there were two sons." Okay, so I can picture two sons because I have a brother, so there is two boys in my family, but, you know, and right here's two boys and their buddy, you know, that you guys just moved so much they pushed you right out of the row. I saw that. And Jesus said, "There's two sons," and the father goes up to the one son and says, "Hey, John, would you do this thing that I really need to have done?" And John said, "Yeah, I'll do that." Now, you realize this is my version, okay? And he says, "Yeah, Dad, I'll do that. Don't worry about it." And then Dad, I'll pick on Kurt since he's right here. So then he goes to Kurt and he says, "Hey, son number two, I have some things for you to do today. Will you do them?" He says, "No, I don't have time to do them. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I want to work on my car. I don't know what." And so then it says, son number one just doesn't do it. Son number two goes through the day and he's thinking, "You know, Dad doesn't ask me to do that much, and I don't really have to work on my car today. I think I'll do what Dad wants me to." So he goes and does what his father asked him to do. And Jesus said, which one of those were obedient? See, we tend to think, if we say yes right away, we're obedient, but not if we don't follow through. And then we also think if we say, like I did, "No, Lord, I'm not going to give up that job, but I did resign that job and I did go away to Bible school," that is being obedient. So you and I have been given some marching orders, haven't we? Go and make disciples. Now, it doesn't say just go and share the good news, but we have to start there. And what we have to start with is realizing it is good news. You know, if we share, we go up to someone and say, "Hey, I have good news to share with you. If you don't accept Jesus, you're going to burn in hell for eternity." That isn't actually good news. And I wonder why they're not excited to accept that. I remember being back in high school and I became a Christian and accepted the Lord as a junior in high school. There was a movie out. It was something to do with the rapture. And a bunch of my classmates and I went to see it. And it so scared some of them that they decided to accept the Lord. Well, I didn't see any change in their behavior, in their conversation. As I continued through high school with them, I saw nothing change whatsoever. They were just scared because of that part of it. But then there were some of us that really made commitments. That's not where I made my commitment. But I think people are going to respond much better to God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. He sent Jesus to die in your place. And he wants you to follow after him the rest of your life. Somebody had said it one time as we catch the fish and we let Jesus clean the fish. You know, sometimes we want to say, get yourself all cleaned up, change your language, change your behavior, stop doing this, stop doing that, then come to church and accept Jesus. Did anybody see Jesus doing that at all? No. Yeah. Okay, I could go on that for a while, but we're going to get back to the message. So we have our marching orders, we have our instructions, but what if we're tired? What if we're exhausted? What if we're discouraged? Well, I think he has some truth he wants to speak to us today. He wants to give us strength today. And he wants to renew and revive us today, restore us today. That started in worship already when we said to come and fill us. But who wants to have that happen this morning? Come on. Okay? Who believes that he can do that and wants to do that? I think I heard two people. Let's try that again. Who thinks he wants to do that today and who believes he wants to do that today? That sounded much better. Thank you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. See, often we say, if I have the energy, if I have the strength, if I have the time, if I have the ability, then I'll do the go and make disciples. Then I'll go and share the good news. But he says it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you that you'll receive the power to be witnesses. Not just to witness, but to actually be a witness with your lifestyle and your conversation. So let's turn together. This time, it'd be great if you followed along with me. Oh, and I think I want to do this in here. Ephesians 6. Now, you may think I'm going somewhere that I'm not, so just follow along with me. Don't get too far ahead. We're in verse 13. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, I want to start up in 10. So Paul says a final word, or finally. Okay, when somebody says that to you, that means, hey, listen up. I've said a lot of stuff, but now I want you to get this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Wow. That's one of those that would be great. You know, it talks about taping a scripture to your forehead. If everybody wouldn't laugh at us, that'd be a good one to have right in front of us. Okay, maybe put it on your refrigerator, your bathroom mirror, in the front of your devotional, whatever. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It doesn't say be strong, period. So it's okay not to be strong yourself. It's okay to be tired and discouraged, but you don't stay there because you strengthen yourself in the Lord and in the power of his might. And is his might limited? Is his power limited? Okay, so now I can ask the question again. Do you think he wants to restore and strengthen you today? All right, now 13. Therefore, since you have strengthened yourself in the Lord, and you know it's not you doing the battle, you know it's not you pressing forward or advancing in your own strength, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. There you go. There you go. And verse 14 starts with, again, stand firm. So sometimes, to resist going backwards, you have to choose to strengthen yourself in the Lord and stand firm. Then once you've gotten your feet under you, as the saying goes, then you can advance and move forward. Okay? So if you've been getting pushed backwards, strengthen yourself in the Lord, I will not be moved. Because of his strength, because of his mighty power. Verse 18. with all prayer and petition. Praying it just every now and then. Waiting for a prayer Sunday once a month at church. Let Pastor Steve pray for me. I don't think it says that. With all prayer and petition, pray every now and then. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in mind, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance would be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So Paul is saying, hey, I need your prayers because I want to be bold in my witness. But watch. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Let that sink in a minute. He's in jail. He's in chains. He's been arrested. And he asks you to pray for him to boldly share the good news. So if he can pray that there, you think maybe we can pray that here this morning? Pray on my behalf that utterance be given to me in the opening of my mouth, okay, some of us need help, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains, and in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, so let's pause a minute. So, ask the Lord to show you. Are you advancing? Are you moving forward? Are you going over, under, or through? Or are you just staying in a place of comfort? And don't disturb me, don't upset my comfort, don't upset what I'm familiar with. Or, I'm just too tired and too weary, and I'm just going to let the current take me wherever it takes. So we're going to conclude with looking how to change that today. If you're in position 2 or position 3, the Word gives us some great things, instructions on how to get beyond that. 1 Peter 5. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time here in this section, and then we're going to dismiss and give everybody time to get their food and their coats and their clothes and their chairs and get all their food out to the pavilion. All right, 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time. So humble means that you admit you can't do it on your own strength, that you need help, that you need his help, that maybe he'll have others come beside you and help you. But you have to humble yourselves. So first is humbling yourself. God, I can't do it without you. I need you. Second one. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Come on. Does anybody in this day and age carry anxiety? Yeah. So I'm a Billy Graham rapid response chaplain, and I got to go out to Franklin Graham's crusade and be one of the chaplains there. And part of our training was reminding us that the statistics today are 80% of people, not people who come to a crusade, just 80% of people have some type of crisis or tragedy going on in their lives or have just gone through one. Come on. That is a lot of people carrying a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. And I know some of you in your situations, and we could raise some hands today, couldn't we? So we have this anxiety that we can choose to carry, or we can choose to give to him because he cares for us. Come on, we can choose to carry it, or we can give it to Him. Maybe it's the thing that's keeping us in place. Maybe it's the thing that's saying, I don't care anymore, and we've started to go backwards. Casting all your anxiety, all your care, all your fear on Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to desire, but resist him. There we go. Come on. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, after you've gone through a trial, after you've gone through a difficulty, the God of all grace. Come on. Now, that's not just talking about the grace that saved you. This is talking about the grace that enables you. Two kinds of grace. Grace that saves you, grace that enables you. The God of all grace, who called you, come on, to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So I want to look at those four words and then we'll be done this morning. Perfect. Some translations say restore. It means completely and thoroughly repairing and restoring. Completely. So if God is doing a job of restoring you and repairing damage that you've had to your mind, will, or emotions, it means He does it completely and thoroughly. He leaves none of it undone. Come on. None of it undone. Let's try that one more time. None of it undone. All restored, all repaired, so that you are perfect. Second word is confirm. It means to make steadfast, unturnable, and established. You can't be turned to the right. You can't be turned to the left. You're steadfast. You're established. Who wants God to do that? Strengthen or support was the third word, depending on your translation. It means restore life and vigor to the body and soul. Wow. Come on, anybody in need of that today? Restore life and vigor. Okay, you know what vigor is? Energy, enthusiasm, passion. Life and vigor to body and soul. See, we think He's only interested in our spirits and that we're saved. He's interested in so much more. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So if you need a touch in your mind, will, or emotions, He wants to restore life and vigor. And the fourth one, establish. That means to settle you onto a firm foundation. If your foundation has been shook a little bit, let Him firm it up. Or it could mean to make you stand back up after you've fallen down. Love that. You're not a failure because you fell down or were knocked down. You only become a failure if you're not willing to get back up. And He said He's willing to establish us and get us to stand back up. So how do we do that today? Okay, we just had it right here. Three steps. Humble ourselves, say, God, I need some of that today. I need some of those four words. I need some of that to happen in my life today, in my situation today, in my body today, in my mind today, in my emotions today, in my will today. And so to make room for you to do that, I'm going to get rid of all of my fear, all my anxiety, all my worry, and I'm just not flinging it into the atmosphere. I'm giving it to You because You care for me. So let's just take a minute. Father, You love us. In fact, You loved us so much You sent Your Son. And I am Your son. And Your daughters are here as well. And we come confidently before your throne of mercy and grace through Jesus your Son. And we hand to you, we cast off of us, we remove from any way it's attached to us all anxiety, all worry and care, and all fear. And we hand it to you. We don't want it back. We don't want to take it back. You can just get rid of it like that. And Father, now we come and say, we need your help today. We want to be those who are strengthened and established so that we can advance your kingdom, so that we can move forward. We don't want to be just those who are comfortable and want to stay where we're at. We want to go where you're going, do what you're doing, and you sent us. You said, this is my command, go and make disciples. So Father, come. Perfect us. Thoroughly repair and restore any damage. Mind, will, emotions, body, soul. Restore and repair. Make us steadfast and established. Give us a firm foundation. Settle us if we've been shaken. Just settle us with your peace that passes all understanding. Cause us to stand back up. And today, even as Peter stepped out of the boat to be with you in the water, Jesus, if I've been knocked down, I'm choosing to stand up today with your strength. You cause us to stand back up today. And now, Father, we present to you our body, our mind, our will and our emotions, and we say, come and restore today life and vigor. Come on. Come on, Father. We give you permission. Jesus, come and stand beside each one. Restore life and vigor. Holy Spirit, you're the paraclete who stands alongside and supports. Breathe. Whoa. Breathe. Breathe on us this morning and restore life and vigor. Life and vigor. So Jesus, you laid down your life to give us life. And the Father raised you from death. Raise us today. Speak life and vigor to us this morning. Restore us today. And we say thank you. Thank you for that restoration. Thank you for that strength. Thank you for that empowering so that we can go out this week and be your witnesses empowered by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your great love for us. Amen, amen, amen.